Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Man, we're in the middle of a series study that we want you to just jump right in. Wherever you're, if you just are joining us today, man, jump right in. Our friends from Lake Point Church and Steve Stroop, their pastor, have shared some things with us in this series that we're turning around and sharing together and sharing with you in hopes that that goal, that initiative that we've put before our church to grow strong families, that this series will help us in that. And so I hope that you have been enjoying this series. I know I have. The Lord's been using it in my own life and in our family's life. We're studying about what God wants to produce in our lives. And we talked a little bit last week how God, He didn't just save us from something. He actually saved us for something and to something. And God wants to form some things in our lives that are going to help us look like, act like, respond like, and be like Jesus Christ. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, man, you're in the right place. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I am so glad you're here, because if you come to that point in time where you choose to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, these are the kinds of things, 9 characteristics that the Lord Jesus wants to produce in you, 9 virtues or 9 fruits of the Spirit, as they're called in Galatians chapter 5. If you have a Bible, open it up to Galatians chapter 5. If it's on your phone, turn your phone on and zoom over to Galatians 5. Verses 22 and 23, if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, that's going to be on page 975. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're finished in just a moment, and I'll give you a Bible. And I just want to make sure everybody has a Bible of their own to read and to meditate on, to pray with, and to think about the things that God says to us through His Word. So listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Paul, the apostle, is writing, and here's what he says. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in this series, we've been looking at these 9 different attributes, these 9 different fruits of the Spirit of God that is working in our hearts, in our lives. And today, we're going to just zero in on the fruit or the virtue of goodness. Goodness. So, sometimes those of us who are Christians, who have been Christians, may have a fear of if we talk about goodness, if we talk too much about goodness, people who are not yet Christians, they may get the wrong idea of what goodness is really all about, what it's there for. They might misunderstand the meaning of goodness and how it connects with the gospel. See, somehow, for some people, there's this fear, a misunderstanding that, man, if we talk about goodness, the world will misunderstand what it means. And some may think, hey, if we're talking about goodness, then that means we'll just be good. Just try to be good more. Try to be better. Try to be a good person. And if you're good enough, long enough, and your good outweighs your bad, then maybe you'll have a shot of going to heaven. And can I just be very, very clear with you? That is not what the Bible teaches. That is heresy, actually. If anybody teaches, man, just make sure your good is outweighing your bad and you're good with God. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Do we want to have more good than bad? Absolutely. But that's not what the Scripture teaches saves us, and that's not what gets us, quote unquote, to heaven. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven on your own. Jesus actually said, "No one is good but God alone." And so if you and I, if we were going to go to heaven just based on our goodness, man, we'd have to be perfect. And that kind of disqualifies everybody pretty quickly, doesn't it? Because you just thought about yesterday and you're like, oh man, I'm out. Man. Now see, the only perfect person, the only perfect one who ever lived, who ever walked on this earth is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one and only Savior of the whole world. One of my favorite verses and chapters in Scripture it talks about how a person is saved. And it's not about your goodness. It's about something else. Turn just a couple of pages to the right over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you what the Bible says. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He talks about what it means to be saved, how a person is saved. And it says this. Maybe you've heard this before. Some may have memorized it. If not, let's just look at it together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 starts, and it says this, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith." Don't miss this next part. "And this is not your own doing." It's not you being good enough. It's not about you. "This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works." You could insert goodness. Not a result of your goodness. Not a result of you trying harder. Not a result of you just white-knuckling it through life. No. It's not. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Oftentimes people stop right there and go, man, I memorized that. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You stop too short. Keep going. Because look what it does have to say about our goodness, about good works. Paul keeps writing. He says in verse 10, "We are His," God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus," what? "For good," what? "Works." "For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What this is saying is we don't need to de-emphasize good works. We just need to make sure we get good works on the right side of salvation. And once salvation, we put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. He's forgiven us of our sin. Man, now we begin to walk into the life that's truly life. The good works that God has prepared for us beforehand. Kids, draw me a picture this morning. Draw me a picture for my art board out here. What do you think it looks like for you to do good works in your family, at school? What does it look like for you to do good, for you to walk in good works? Maybe it's cleaning your room. Maybe it's studying hard. Maybe it's clearing the dinner table. Maybe it's taking out the trash. Draw me a picture of what good works you can do this week that you know is going to bless God's heart, and it's going to bless your family, your mom, your dad. When you're finished this morning, put it out in the Home Life Center on my art board. I want to see what your artwork looks like regarding good works. See, if we're not careful, we can become known as followers of Jesus for what we decide we're not going to do, we're not going to be about, rather than for the things that we decide we are going to do and we are going to be about. I don't know about you, but man, I'd rather be known for what I'm doing and what I'm for rather than for what I'm not doing and what I'm against. That's just me. And while it is true that when you become a follower of Jesus, so if you're thinking about that, if you're still on that journey and exploring that, welcome, we're glad you're here. Let me just tell you what's going to come. If you become a follower of Jesus, He does ask for some subtraction in your life. Some things to be cut out of your life for you to stop doing, not do anymore. In a sense, he wants you to get the weeds out of the garden of our lives. But the reason that he wants the weeds out of the garden is so that fruit will begin to grow strong in our lives. And so some of Jesus, really interesting, some of Jesus' greatest critics were people of subtraction, whose religion, whose life was all about what they don't do, what they cut out of their life. They always seem to talk about, you can't do this, and you can't do that. But listen to what it says as a descriptor of who Jesus was in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. You might just want to jot that down. Acts 10, 38. Look at it with me on the screen. It says this, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing what? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The life of Jesus, the one we follow, was marked not by what he didn't do, but by rather what he did. Jesus went around doing good. Can we just make that declaration together on three? One, two, three. Jesus went around doing good. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, if you become a follower of Jesus, doing good is a natural thing for you to engage in, to walk in. You're going to do a lot of good in your life. And my encouragement for you today, my encouragement for me today, is not to be people of subtraction in our life, but it's to be people of plus, to be plus people. One reason that the Bible says to be plus people is because we read, number one, it is bad not to do good. Can we just take another out loud note together on three? One, two, three. It is bad not to do good. You might want to jot that down. I'm going to give you four of them this morning. That's the first one. It's bad not to do good. Where do we see that in Scripture? Well, you might want to jot this Scripture down. James 4, 17. James 4, 17. Look what it says. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is what? It's sin. What's James saying in this verse? James is saying it's bad not to do what? It's bad not to do good. He says not to do good when we know the right thing to do, that is sin. Now, there's two different kinds of sin, categories of sin. There's what's called the sin of commission. The sin of commission is, man, we know we should not do this, that, or the other, and we commit that sin anyway. We do that sin anyway. You go, like what? Well, like lying or cheating or stealing or murdering or using hateful language to somebody else. And we know that's not what God wants for us. That's not God's best for us. That may be how we feel in the moment, but we know that's not the right thing to do. And yet we do it anyway. We commit that sin. Those are sins of what? Commission. So then a second type of sin would not be a sin of commission. It'd be a sin of omission. Very good, class. Sins of omission are things that we know that we should be doing, and yet we choose not to do them. We choose to omit them. And that, too, is a sin. Now, think about it. It's easier for us to zero in on the things that we do rather than the things that we do not do, the sins that we commit. Because usually when we sin in something we know we shouldn't do, but we do it anyway, the Holy Spirit just kind of starts beating fast in our heart or smacking us upside the head or going, oh, man, what'd you do that for? You know you weren't supposed to do that. You did that. And we're like, yeah, and we kind of start to feel bad about that. And we confess that sin to the Lord. And then sometimes we make promises that we can't keep. Like, I'll never do that again. Click. Oh, I'm sorry. We get in this cycle. And man, commission. It's a little different with sins of omission. Think about it with me. We know we should do this, and we know we should be more generous. And so we say, I'm going to be more generous soon. Just not right now. But I will, though. I will. I mean, after I finish my financial piece, university, man, I'm getting it all in order. And then I've got some income tax return coming. And God's going, well, okay, but how about right now? How about you be walking with me today? I mean, I hope you're walking with me then. But let's walk all the way up too. We know we should witness. We know we should tell people about Jesus, share our faith story with others. But today just wasn't the right day. Someday I'm going to share my faith with some. I know God wants me to do. He's told me to do that. But today, someday though. We know we should help others in their time of need, but man, I just can't do it. I'm just going to sit down on my calendar. I'm going to get all mapped out, and here are helping other people in need days. Maybe next Saturday. And so we rationalize, and we're procrastinating that we're not doing what God tells us and wants us to do good. So we never really come to that point in time when it comes to omission sins where we feel the same kind of impact, the guilt that we do when we commit something as when we omit something. And friends, sins of omission oftentimes just never get confessed because we just kind of keep pushing it down the road. And yet we read in the scriptures where both sins of omission and commission are a big deal to God. And so we want to be plus people, not subtraction people. We want to be plus people because, number one, it's bad not to do good. And number two, because doing good is the best way to overcome evil. Let's take another out loud note together. Let's say number two on three. One, two, three. Doing good is the best way to overcome evil. I encourage you to jot that down. And I encourage you to jot down a verse of Scripture that is so formative to that truth. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Jot that down. It's a great verse of Scripture to memorize. Romans 12, 21, Paul tells us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. In other words, sometimes the best defense is a great offense. We got any Dallas Cowboy fans in here? You still in mourning? Yeah? It's okay. We're going to get there. I'm an NFL draft junkie, okay? I read all kinds of stuff about the draft. Last year, we had the number 4 pick in the draft, and we needed help on defense. And we chose offense. And I was like, oh, that's not how I would have done it. But at least they had a plan, right? Right? You're going, I don't know. Well, they drafted Zeke Elliott. And they knew they had an offensive line that were just road graders. And they're thinking, our best defense is to get better on offense, to give the ball to Zeke, and let him just keep feeding. Hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Let me keep feeding. Because as he's running the rock, what's also running? The clock. And when the offense is on the field, who's off the field? The defense. The defense. And sometimes the best defense is a great offense. You go, what are you talking about? Do something good instead of just trying not to do something bad. Sometimes the best defense is a great offense. Do good. Did you know something? Do you realize that when you get invested and engaged in doing good, you're not going to have nearly as much time to do bad? Have you ever heard it said, idleness is the devil's playground? Get involved. Get engaged in doing something good, in loving your neighbor, in blessing the city. As you do that, you will be made into disciples. You'll be following Jesus, and you'll be doing good. God created you, as we just read a moment ago in Ephesians 2:10. He created you for the offense. He created you for good works. And when we get busy doing God's good works in the world, you just don't have time to be bored as much. And we begin to have meaning. We begin to have significance. We're not nearly as tempted to do bad because we're doing what? We're doing good. Feed the good. Feed the good. We overcome evil by doing what? Good. So we don't want to be a subtraction person. We want to be a plus person. We want to be a plus person. It's bad not to do good, and doing good is the best way to overcome evil. And then number three, doing good fulfills our purpose and brings us joy. Let's take another out loud note together for number three here on 3, 1, 2, 3. Doing good fulfills our purpose and brings us joy. It's been said that there's two important days in your life, the day that you're born and the day that you begin to understand why. Know your why. Sometimes that comes in waves. That day you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and He forgives you of all of your sin, past, present, and future. And you then begin to understand more about why you are here. Why God formed you in your mother's womb the way He formed you. And He gave you a personality. He gave you talents that He expects you to develop and use. See, when you discover how God has redeemed every circumstance, the good and the bad, the ones that are just flowing and the ones that have been dry, every circumstance in your life, every experience in your life, and how the author and perfecter of your faith, Jesus Christ, weaves all of those elements in your story together under His and in His sovereignty. When you begin to walk as a follower of Jesus, becoming a Christian, the scripture says the Holy Spirit is given to you. He comes and lives inside of you. And He brings with Him some spiritual gift that you can't just go down to Walmart and buy. Some things you weren't even physically born with. That's why Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. And when you're born again and the Spirit of God lives in you, He brings some supernatural stuff to come. Not like Spider-Man. But to go, hey, this is who I want you to be. And God begins to put all that together in your life because God has something that He wants you to uniquely do. And have you found that place in the plan that God has for your life? As a part of this community, being on mission. Have you found that yet? Are you taking steps toward that? That's why being engaged in a life group is so important, because you've got other people who are helping you to walk towards the goodness that God's desiring for you to walk in. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells this story of a master who goes to a foreign country, and he leaves some measures of money back with his servants, people who are taking care of the place while he's gone. And he says to his servants, I want you to use this money for my business, for this kingdom, this estate. And when he comes back, he finds that a servant has been faithful. He's really used that money while he was gone. In Matthew 25, verse 23, Jesus is telling the story, and he says, his master said to him, well done. What's that next word? Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into what? The joy of your master. Goodness and joy are experienced together. See, when we take that faithful step forward, we begin to live out of our purpose in this life, and we find the good that God has created us to do. Not only does God allow our lives to have a greater impact, not only does God give us a greater opportunity to do more and more good, but it says we get to enter into His joy. Joy doesn't depend on your circumstances. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy is something you enter into when you're trusting and walking with God. And some of us have not really tasted and experienced and seen that kind of joy. And it's the joy of serving and doing good in the unique way that God has created you to do. Look back again at Ephesians 2:10. Remember, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Man, before you were ever born, God knew the impact that you could have on this world. You ever think about that? He knew the impact you could have. But have you had the joy? Have you had the pleasure of finding His joy? And stepping into His plan, doing good works, blessing others in profound ways that God's created and allowed for you to do. Man, I'm telling you, there is deep joy in those moments. Let me just give you some examples of some people who aren't living a perfect life. Some days they have difficulty, but they're walking in the good works God has prepared for them to walk in. Some of it's vocationally, some of it's just some things that they're doing on the side. Well, one example, I think about my wife, Allison. Allison is a third grade teacher at a Title I school out in Wiley. And man, the impact she has on those kids day after day, teaching them to read and just investing and pouring into their lives day after day. Good works, a lot of joy. I think about Luana Araujo. Having a vision for our heart for the fatherless closet. It's right there behind that wall. Right behind that wall. Man, just a huge closet that is just packed full of infant and baby and kids' clothes and all kinds of stuff that goes with raising kids and having kids. And man, it's just full of blessing for people who are fostering, who are adopting in this community, who are blessed each week by being able to have resources from the church. Did you know that little dream has blown up and there are about 30 families a month that are coming to just be resourced. 18 agencies all over the county, the area, the city are now referring people to Arapahoe Road because they'll go, those people are good and they'll help you. And Luana's just sitting there and going, hey, how can we get more people to help? And there's just good works being done and there's great joy being experienced. I think about men like Scott Lyles and John Long and David Eglin and David Largent and Pete Underwood, John Parker, and a whole team that couldn't fit in the picture. A whole team of guys who just keep our campus looking and working great through their good deeds, through their good works. And man, they find great joy in there. Now, sometimes they get a little grumpy if you don't give them enough coffee, but hey, they get back in there and it's like, yeah, this is good joy. They found their good works. I think of Steve and Susan Lord. I think of Evelyn Cates, who lead us in blessing one of our strategic mission partnerships with Hickman Elementary School just around the corner. Man, they're the ones who are helping to mobilize the good works that we get to enjoy, and they enjoy, and people are being blessed. I think of Scott and Rachel Partridge, who are serving as a cares team in the Apartment Life Ministry. They live over in the Equinox Apartments just around the corner, man. And they are just doing good and sharing good. They're preparing for next fall when they're going to launch and head over to Hamburg, Germany through the International Mission Board. And they're going to be living amongst Muslim neighbors, sharing the good news as they do good works. And we have the opportunity to come around them and help them in what God has prepared in advance for them to do. Man, I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of each one of you that we talked about. And so many more that we just don't have time to hit every single one. But let me just tell you this. I'm so proud of the moms, especially in this place, who are doing good works, raising your kids. And I know dads, you're in there with them. And sometimes it's single dad, and sometimes there's not a dad in the picture. But moms, you're knocking it out of the park. Don't you ever underestimate the good you are doing when you're walking in to the responsibility of motherhood. You keep it up, and you keep coming to Arapahoe Road, and we'll keep walking with you. It takes a village, and we're glad that you're a part of this tribe. Let me just ask you, have you found your good work? Have you found your good work? Have you found that place that God's called you to pour your life into, to make a difference in the lives of others through your good works? We're talking about being plus people, not subtraction people. If you're going to be a plus people, it means, number one, it's bad not to do good. Number two, doing good's the best way to overcome evil. Number three, doing good fulfills our purpose and it brings us joy. And number four, doing good empowers our witness and gives glory to God. Let's make that final out loud note on number four there on three. One, two, three. Doing good empowers our witness and gives glory to God. See, in any kind of witness, there's at least two parts. There's the saying of our witness, and there's the doing of our witness. Our lives and our lips. And many times we tend to get drawn to one side or the other. But maybe there are people, and you've heard them, that say, you know what, I'm just going to live a good life. I want to do a lot of good things, and that's how I'm going to witness. What is it? Was it Francis of Assisi said, share the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I hear what he's saying. I struggle with it. You go, why do you struggle with it? What do you have a problem with there? Well, the problem is this. If you never verbally use your words, you ever say that to your kids? Use your words. Use your words. If you never use your words on all the good that you're doing, guess who's going to inadvertently get the glory? You are. Because the spotlight's going to be on you and all your goodness that you're doing. And the way that you turn the spotlight from you to your Father in heaven is through your words. It's not by going, sounds like feeding Zeke. No. Just use your words. Man, I appreciate that. But the reason that I'm trying to help to do some good here is because of what Jesus has done for me. He's done so much for me. It honors Jesus when you point to Him both with your life and your lips, with your life and your words, when you introduce people to Jesus. On the other extreme is just people who just talk about Jesus all the time, but they just don't have a whole lot of action, not a lot of life living to back up whatever thing you're saying. And man, you're not exemplifying what a follower of Christ is, although you're talking about it a whole lot. And man, what are you talking about? Man, you always show up late for work. You don't do your work well. You're always blaming somebody else or some circumstance. Man, if that's you and that's what you're living, but you're talking a whole lot about Jesus, that's going to confuse people. Do your work as unto the Lord. And then when the spotlight's on you, point people back to Him with your lips. I've found that people are much more inclined to listen to plus people than they are subtraction people. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Man, what if we lived our lives in such a way that no matter what we were doing, no matter where we were going, no matter who we were with, man, there were just good works that were flowing out of our lives because the Holy Spirit is growing this fruit, this virtue of goodness inside of our lives. Man, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we all let God do such a work in our lives that when people saw us coming or heard that we were coming, they would know that we are Christians and they wouldn't think, oh gosh, here comes an odd for God one. No, they would sit there and go, man, that's a good thing. That person's life is shining brightly. That person's demonstrating goodness in everything they do, everywhere they go, everything they say is goodness. And we just keep pointing people and telling people, this is all motivated by my faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. How great will it be one day after years and years and years of following Jesus, say it with me, and loving your neighbor and blessing the city and making disciples, that the people in this neighborhood and in our city and all across this area and all across this world that we have relationships with, from Garland to Hamburg, Germany, we just hear people say over and over again, as they tell their stories, the best thing that ever happened to this community, the best thing that ever happened to our family, the best thing that ever happened to our city is when Arapahoe Road was on mission. When the people of God did the goodness of God and pointed back with their lives and their lips to the motivation of why we did it in the first place. It's one of my dreams that they would see our good works and they might glorify our Father who's in heaven. Another of my dreams is like it, that the ones who know us best, our family members, that they would be able to see and experience good works in our home, because that's where faith starts. Faith doesn't start at church. Faith starts at home. Faith starts at home. And if faith isn't being developed and on display at home with the ones who know us the best, then all the other good works and lip service is just a sham. You're going, man, I need some help in that. How can I do that? I want my home to be where faith starts. Man, if that's you, you need to move from attending Arapahoe Road to being a member at Arapahoe Road, because we'll help you. It's great that you're attending. You keep coming as long as you want. We had three people that joined our church last week and went through the three families went through the Connect class. It was great. And they're going, man, we want to be all in. We want to do more than just sit and warm a pew. We want to be all in. We want our faith starting at home. We want our families growing strong. And I want to help you do that. If I can help you, you take that little Connect card. You just fill that information out there. If I can help you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, that's priority number one. If I can help you take a next step and following Him in baptism, that's great. If I can help you become a member of this church, man, mark that down. And put that little check on membership at Arapahoe Road. I'll follow up with you this week. We can have a conversation next Sunday morning at 9:15 over coffee. I've got the whole morning block just for you. Put that down there. I'll follow up with you this week. Or come give it to me right over here when we're done in just a second. I'd love to help you take that next step in your faith journey. May your faith grow strong in your family, and may your life demonstrate good works everywhere you go. I want to invite Kevin Kusunoki to come and to wrap our time up. As he's coming, would you hold your hands out like this, because I want to give you a blessing. It's one of the things we do here at Arapahoe Road is bless one another before we leave. And I want to give you a blessing this morning. Don't give up. Don't become weary in doing good. You'll reap a harvest if you keep doing good. And know this, goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. How can I say that? Because God already did. He loves you. He's for you. He's with you. And He has a plan for you. And they include good works. So be great for Him. this week. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Something that Pastor David said throughout the sermon that hit me particularly hard was that he wants us to be plus people and not subtraction people. And I don't know why I started thinking about this, but I immediately started thinking about interior design. Now, a small little fact about me is I love HGTV. How many of y'all love that channel? Yeah, I love the Property Brothers. I absolutely love Chip and Gale. House Hunters, not so much. But I sincerely believe that I've watched so much HGTV that I could probably do interior design on a professional basis. But if there's one thing that I've learned about interior design from all my hours of watching HGTV is that less is more. Less is more. There's this move in interior design. I'm not professional, but I think there's this move towards a reductionistic approach, right? Like, you want to have dual-purpose furniture. You want more space. You want that open kitchen because it'll make your house feel more inviting. It'll make it look bigger. My mom does interior design as a hobby as well, and I've seen her become more HGTV in her taste, because every time I go home, there's less and less furniture. You know, I went back home from college once, and my bed was just gone. You know, in its place was a dual-purpose sofa bed. It wasn't even a pull-out bed. It was just a sofa that everyone shared, you know? But I think the value of a reductionistic interior design is that it's less messy. It's presentable. And I think that, when you reduce, the problem with modern interior design is when you reduce and you reduce and you reduce so much, it's no longer a home that you can live in, right? I mean, you're worried about leaving cup stains on the glass table, or you're worried about leaving crumbs on the marble floor. It's not a home. And I think the church, the global church, the body of Christ, has gone through a modern renovation. I think each one of us in our hearts have gone through a little bit of a modern renovation. We've become reductionistic in our faith. We've become subtraction people. We're so worried about looking presentable that we forget about doing good. Oh, I can't hang out with those people there that celebrate a different, an alternative lifestyle, that they might influence me in a bad way. Or I was thinking about asking this family or this person whether I could buy some lunch or groceries for them because I know they're having troubles financially, but no, that might be degrading, that might be insulting, so I'm not going to do it. And whether we admit it or not, I think we've grown accustomed to this reductionistic faith because it's comfortable. And that's what makes Pastor David's challenge so simple, but so difficult. He wants us to step into the mess to do good, right? Not to not worry about being presentable, to be plus people. And the reward for that, the reward for that might be more difficulty, more trials, more hardship, but that's what Christ went through for us, right? The Pharisees and Sadducees were upset at Jesus, not just for what he taught, but the good he did, the tax collectors he ate with, the people he healed on the Sabbath. It reminds me of the Chronicles of Narnia, where little Lucy asks Mr. Beaver about Aslan, who's the god character in the book, and she says, "Mr. Beaver, is he safe? Is Aslan safe?" And Mr. Beaver responds, he says, "Who said anything about safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." And so as Christ's followers, as his ambassadors, we represent his goodness by doing good. And in so doing, we join him in his suffering. He never promised the safe life. He promised the good. The problem is that the good life is difficult and it's hard. My prayer is that, you know, here at Arapahoe Road, we'd be known as a church of plus people, willing to step into the mess, not worried about the ramifications in order to do good, that we're plus people, that we're known more for who we are for than what we're against, right? We're known more for who we are for, the good Father, than what we are against, and consequently, we would do good works for that.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.